Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the top of Daf Yud Tes. You will notice a diamond with a number 6, next to the Gemara text. This is a continuation of the series of questions that we started a while back concerning the mazik of regel. Most of the questions have been focused on the issue of tsuros. Here we continue with number 6. As you scan down the page, you will see number 7 and number 8 appearing a bit later. Once you get to Amud Beis, number 9 appears at the upper part of the page. On the side of the Gemara, in the margin, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. Amongst the markings that will appear, you will see a bow tie shape. And the bow tie shape highlights the expression initially of Hechi Ko'omar. How are we to understand the Mishnah? In other words, after opening the Gemara with a quote from the Mishnah, that quote itself is something that is not clear. How are we to understand it? We're going to see, as we go on in the Gemara, a framed section, but a dashed frame, which is quite unusual in our marking system. The dashed frame, nimtsoim shnei gishois biwur, two approaches for clarification, al hadikatoni hoisum evaetis. In other words, our Mishnah has information in it, and the Gemara will present two ways of trying to clarify what the Mishnah means. Number one, sofek im mishnosenu aliba durabonan osumchas. One point to bear in mind is that we have to figure out whether the Mishnah is in accordance with the Rabbanan, who hold that normal tsuros pays half damages, chatzi nezik, which is a topic we've been dealing with in the last couple of dapim. Or does our Mishnah follow the ruling of Sumchus, who holds that the payment of Tzuros is Nezek Sholem? Later, we're going to see Gishas Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi's approach, She Mishnosenu Hi Aliba Durabonan. The Mishnah is clearly in accordance with the Rabbanan. Usfeko Shrav Ashi, the point that's not clear to Rav Ashi, Haim l'Rabbanan yesh shinui l'tzuros olo. Tzuros done in an unusual fashion, which is a point that we saw already. We discussed this on the fourth line from the top of this daf, namely toward the end of our previous year. Let us say the animal does an action that's unusual for it, and as a result of the unusual action, pebbles are cast forth and do damage. That's called shinui by tsuros. Shinui meaning the unusual. And the question is, does that manifest itself in terms of payment? Whereas, according to the Rabbanan, normal tsuros damage, you pay half damages. Shinui of tsuros, will it result in paying half of the normal, which would be a quarter of the damages, or not? This issue of is there shinui tzuros or not, as we mentioned, appeared already, and that will be Rav Ashi's doubt as to what does the Mishnah mean. Let's now turn to the Gemara text. We open, as we said, 13 lines from the top with a quote from the Mishnah that appeared on Daf Yud Zayin Omer Aleph. Hoiso Mivaetes, Shohayu Tsuros Minatsin Mitachas Ragleha Vishovra Esakelim Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. That's the text. We're not going to translate it. We're rather going to read the Gemara now and show how the Mishnah as it is not 100% clear. We open with a question. We have a long question marking. And we mentioned before, this is the Aleph, the first approach in presenting two ways of understanding the Mishnah. Heichi Komar, how is the Mishnah to be understood? Do we say, Hoysa Mivaetes, Vehizika Beviuta, Otsuros Kur Chayu, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, Virabonanhi? The Mishnah says the animal was kicking, and it caused damage in its kicking. While kicking, it caused damage. Or, tsuros in a normal fashion, and in both cases, half damages are paid, and that would be in accordance with the Rabbonan. Oy Dilma, or maybe, the Mishnah is to be understood this way. Hoysa Mivaitis, Vihizika Viviuta, which, by the way, is the same as the first approach. The animal is kicking, and it did damage through its kicking. Otsuros Machmas Biut, Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. Or, the reference to tsuros in the Mishnah wasn't tsuros in a regular fashion, but rather tsuros that resulted from the animal's kicking. It was stomping its feet, and which is unusual, and stones, pebbles, hurled forth from underfoot. That's tsuros in an unusual fashion. It will then pay half. Ha ki urche. However, pebbles that are hurled forth as a result of the animal behaving normally in the course of its walking. pebbles are hurled forth. Mishalei mezek sholem. Then you would pay not half, but rather full damages. Umani, and in accordance with whom is that? Sumchas he. The Mishnah would be authored by Sumchas. In other words, through the inference from the Mishnah as it is, you would conclude its authorship is that of Sumchas. So that's what is unclear. Is the Mishnah in accordance with the Rabbanan, and the reference to Tsurus in the Mishnah was Tsurus Kiru Chayu, or is the Mishnah in accordance with Sumchas, and the Chatzi Nezek reference to Tsurus in the Mishnah was a Tsurus as a result of some unusual animal behavior? Toshma Misefa. Note, we have a long marking. So the Gemara says we can answer the question from the Seifa. And we've already written in between the lines that you can conclude from the Mishnah, Seifa, from the continuation of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is not in accordance with Sumchas. How are we going to show that? So it takes a little while. Toshma mi Seifa. Dorso al hakli vishibrosoi. Vinofal hashever al kli acher vishibroi. Al horishon mishalei nezek sholem v'al ho'achron chatzi nezek. The Seifa describes an animal trampling upon a vessel. Its trampling result in the breaking of the vessel. And not only did the initial vessel break, but a shard was cast forth from that, and then that shard broke a second vessel. So that flying shard is tsuros. And the Mishnah rules regarding the first vessel that was trampled underfoot, full damages are paid. That's the nezek of regel. On the second kli, the second vessel that was damaged through the hurled shard, that second vessel, its destruction results in a half damage payment. The Sumchas of our Mishnah was authored by Sumchas, mi islei chatzi nezek. Does Sumchas have in his vocabulary, in his approach to Nezikin, does he have a half damage payment? V'chitema, and if you try to say that Rishon in the Mishnah, the reference to the first vessel, is not the vessel that the animal trampled upon, but rather Rishon Lahatoza, the first vessel to break by the hurled shard. Vesheni, Sheni Lahatoza, and the second vessel referred to in the Mishnah. The Mishnah made reference to V'alho Achron, Chatzi Nezek. That was the second vessel to be destroyed, to be damaged by a hurled piece of shard, a hurled shard, as a result of the first vessel that broke through a shard. So that in this scenario, you have no reference to the initial vessel that was broken underfoot, but rather you have a reference to the first vessel to be broken by the shard hurled forth from the breaking of the first vessel, and then another vessel broken by a shard hurled forth from the vessel initially broken by the first shard. And v'shaini lei l'sumchis, bein koichei l'koyach koichei. And in this approach, you would see that Sumchis makes a distinction between the breaking of the first vessel through force and the second vessel that broke through exerted force. Namely, the first vessel broken by the first hurled shard, that's called koichei, or koyach rishon. And the second vessel broken by the second shard is koyach koichei. And in koichei, you pay full damage. And in koyach koichei, you pay half damage. If that was the way to understand the Mishnah, then Elohad de boy Ravashi, koyach koichei l'sumchis k'koichei domi oilav k'koichei domi. Above, we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara. It's pointing to the fifth diamond. The question that Rav Ashi raised above is derivative force. Koyach koichei, according to Sumchis, like initial force, which would be full damage. Or is it like koyach, or is it not like initial force, and therefore you pay half nezek according to Sumchis? Why would Rav Ashi have such a question? Tivshot le, the lavka koichei domi. Wouldn't Rav Ashi be able to conclude his question concerning Sumchis from our Mishnah if it were according to Sumchis? But the fact that Rav Ashi raises the question shows us that, in other words, let me repeat that. By the fact that Rav Ashi raises the question of how to understand Sumchis, it must be that the information is not in the Mishnah. Therefore, the continuation of the Mishnah, the Sefer that we just read, is not a description of a second and third vessel breaking, and a teaching in accordance with Sumchis. Rather, the Mishnah is in accordance with the Rabbanan. Because if the Mishnah had been according to Sumchis, so Rav Ashi would never have asked his question. We continue in the Gemara with Rav Ashi's own approach to the Mishnah. Rav Ashi kirabbanan mukila. As opposed to the first bow tie, which presented authorship of the Mishnah as a matter of doubt in terms of who authored it, according to Rav Ashi, it's clear that the Mishnah is authored by the Rabbanan. And uboi lo hochi. And Rav Ashi raises a question in terms of understanding of the Mishnah thusly. The text of the Mishnah describes an animal kicking, and as a result of its kicking, caused damage without any tsuros. And that's an example of a toldo de keren, a derivative of keren, of the unusual form of damage. which pays half damages, or tsuros in a normal fashion also pays half damages. Now, that would leave room to infer ha machmas biut. However, tsuros not ki'ur chayu, but tsuros machmas biut. Pebbles that are hurled forth as a result of biut, kicking, which is unusual, revia nezek, v'yesh shinui, and you would have been, then be describing a case of tsuros b'shinui, and the damage payment would be half of the normal amount. If the normal amount is half damages, this possibly would be a quarter damages, v'yesh shinui, and that would then enable us to declare yesh shinui the tsuros. Ol dilma, or possibly the Mishnah is understood thusly. Hoysa mevaetis vehizika beviuta ot suros machmas biut. The Mishnah makes no reference, according to this approach, to suros kirchayu. The Mishnah describes either a kicking action which directly destroyed a vessel, or a kicking action hurling forth suros. And for that as well, there would be chatsi nezek. The ein shinui, and that tsuros, even though done in an unusual way, is if the payment scale does not reflect that, and that would lead us to say ein shinui in tsuros. Teku, this remains unresolved. We should point out that this approach of Rav Ashi was reflected in his question above. Diamond number 4. And you can see that his doubt over there was simply a result of this lack of clarity in how to understand our Mishnah itself. Now, diamond number 7. Boy mine Rabbi Abo bar Momol me Rabbi Ami. The Amri law may Rabbi Fia bar Abba. A different version by way of names is that Rabbi Abba asked his question either from Rabbi Ami, or the second version is he asked it of Rabbi Chia. Oiso me'aleches b'mokaim shi efshir lo elo im kein minatezes. An animal was walking in the private domain of a victim, and the chotzer hanizik, as it's referred to, the courtyard of the victim, was full of pebbles. The ground was covered with pebbles, so that an animal in its normal walking in a situation like that would hurl forth pebbles. Uboato vehitiza vehizika mahu. It cast forth the pebbles, but not through normal walking, but as a result of bo'ata, as a result of a kicking action. So the animal was in the chotzer hanizik, in the private domain of the victim, floor filled with pebbles, animal did an unusual kicking action, an unusual action, namely of kicking, and hurled forth pebbles, and did damage. Mahu, what is the payment? Kevon di'ef shelo urchehu, since it's a situation of impossibility, namely it's impossible even in a normal fashion to avoid the hurling forth of pebbles, and therefore it's called urche, it's called normal. Oidilmo hashtomio machmas biut kominatsa tsuros. Or, right now, the tsuros were hurled forth in an unusual, as a result of an unusual action. And now Rashi adds, and if there is shinui litzuros, which we just introduced above in our number, our Bay's bow tie, if we would conclude that there's shinui litzuros, then the payment would be a quarter of the damage value. Teku. So this question remains unresolved. Bo mine Rabbi Yirmiya me Rabbi Zera. This is our eighth question. Rabbi Yirma asks of Rabbi Zera, Hoysa Mahaleches Brishus Rabbim, Vehitiza, Vehizika Mahu. The animal is walking in a public domain, and pebbles are cast forth, and it does damage in the public domain. What is the din? L'keren midaminon le v'chayeves. Do we compare this to damage through keren, damage through goring? Goring is a kind of damage that one will pay half damages, even in a public thoroughfare. And since the tsuros pays half damage, we would then compare it to keren, and a half damage payment rate would be imposed on the offender. Oy dilma tilda de regel hu uftura. Or do we say that tsuros is simply a derivative of regel, of damage through walking, and damage through walking is exempt in a public domain? So that's our question. Omar Le, so Rabbi Zero says, Mistabro Toldo de Regel Hu. It's most likely that normal tsuros is a derivative of regel, and therefore exempt from damage payment in a public domain. Hitizo Birshus Harabim. Here we have a second issue that comes up, and on the side we should note that we have a marking scheme under our Nosei Mivneh heading. This crown shape that you see, Malech Shus Rav Vitiza Vizika, the first case we already discussed, where damage took place in Shus Ravim. Case number two has the damage taking place in a private domain. Here the animal is walking along, casting forth pebbles from a public domain. That's where we're reading in the Gemara text number 2, Hetiza Birshus Rabim. The animal was walking forth in a normal fashion, and pebbles were cast forth in the public domain, Vizika Birshus Hayochid. Damage took place in a private domain, Mahu. We should just point out that the first stage of analysis is where the damage took place in the public domain, and Rabbi Zeiro's ruling was that it's viewed as a derivative of regel, and regel in a where damage happens in a public domain is exempt. What about where damage results in a private domain? What would Rabbi Zeiro say about that? Omar Lei, Rabbi Zeiro says, Akira ein kan. The initial hurling, the uprooting, Akira literally is uprooting of the pebble, took place in a place of exemption. So there's no Akira, there's no beginning, so to speak. There's no legal beginning of guilt. Therefore, Hanocha ein kan. The landing, Hanoch is the landing where the damage actually results, but it's a landing without a beginning, and therefore, exemption. But let me read that again with the proper intonation. Rabbi Zeiro says, Akira ein kan, Hanocha yesh kan. There's no initial act of guilt. How then could there be a resultant hanocha that would carry with it a penalty of payment? Hence, Rabbi Zeira rules, there is no penalty of payment here either. Now, a house shape appears, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, these houses represent Kushios al Rabbi Zeira, Shomar Tsuros Havei Toldo de Regel. These are questions that, at the root of the questions, we see a challenge to Rabbi Zeira's contention that Tsuros are viewed as a derivative of Regel. Eisvei, Rabbi Yirmiyah raises a question. Hoysim Aleches, Baderech v'tiza. An animal was walking along and it hurled forth pebbles. Bein bishus hayochid, bein bishus harabim, chayof. Whether a private domain or a public domain, there is culpability. My love, is it not so? Hitizo bishus harabim, veziko bishus harabim. That the source describes, amongst other things, an initial hurling forth in a public domain and the damage also in a public domain. And the source rules chayav, that there is culpability. And if you're going to say, like, if you're going to say that tsuros is parallel to keren, then I understand that there is culpability in a public domain. But if you're going to say, like Rabbi Zero said, that it's a tolda de regel, why would there be culpability when the nezek results in a public domain? Regel doesn't carry with an obligation in a public domain. So that's Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question on Rabbi Zero. The response, lo, not so. In other words, what Rabbi Yirmiyahu assumed to be the understanding of this Tanaic source is not so. Rather, he tees up Birshus HaRabim, Vehezika Birshus HaYochid. What the source is describing is a case of the initial hurling forth in a public domain and the damage resulting in a private domain. And Regel is Chayiv in a private domain. Ah, but regarding that scenario, that's not in accordance with what Rabbi Zera ruled above. Thoamris, did Rabbi Zera not say Akira Ein Kan Anocha Yishkan? The star that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text can be paralleled with the star above, where we saw that expression on the part of Rabbi Zera. So, if the understanding of this source where the house appeared is that the hatoza took place in Rishus HaRabim and the nezik in Rishus HaYochid, and there is guilt for that, that is not a good position for Rabbi Zera. Omar le Hadribi. Rabbi Zera says, well, regarding that, I reverse myself. In other words, I acknowledge that the truth is viewed as regel, and if the damage take place in a private domain, there must be compensation. Esve. Dorsa, again, we raise a question. Dorsa al akli v'shibrosoi. V'nofala shever al kli acher v'shibro. This is information we've seen before. The animal trampled on a vessel, broke it, and a shard from that broke a second vessel. Al rishon mishalim nezek sholim v'al achron mishalim chatzi nezek. On the initial vessel, full damage is paid. On the subsequent vessel, damage, half is paid. The Tani Allah, and concerning that, it has been taught, Bamed v'mumurim b'rishus hanizik. That's when the damage takes place in a private domain. Avo b'rishus harabim, ala rishon ptura, v'ala achroin chayeves. In a public domain, concerning the first vessel, there would be exemption. The first vessel was broken through the animal's trampling upon it in its normal course of walking. That's the damage known as regel, and that is exempt in a public domain. On the subsequent vessel that broke as a result of the shard that was hurled toward it, there is an obligation to compensate. My love, is it not so that hitiza b'rishus harabim v'hizika b'rishus harabim? The initial hurling forth was in the public domain, and the damage also in the public domain. Ah, and if it's like Rabbi Zera claimed that tsuros is a tolda of regel, why would there be any culpability? Regel doesn't pay in Rishus HaRabim. Lo, well, that's not the case, though. Rather, hitiza b'rishus HaRabim v'zika b'rishus HaYochid. The initial hurling forth was in the public domain, but the damage resulted in a private domain. And that's why the source says he is chayev, as regel is chayev for damages that it causes in a private domain. Ah, but V'hamers, did Rabbi Zera not say earlier, Akira ein kan hanocha yoshkan, that if there's no initial culpability, how can there be culpability for its final landing? Well, Omar Lay, Rabbi Zera answers, like we saw before, Hadribi, I changed my mind, or I reverse from that analysis, namely that if there's no initial Akira, so there's no guilt for the hanocha, not so. As long as the damage happens in a private domain, there will be guilt. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Chatzi Nezek Choluk, Lo Lirshus Hayochid, Velo Lirshus Harabim. When it comes to the payment of half damages, there is no chuluk, no distinction between a private domain or a public domain. My lav does not in fact include hetiza b'shus harabim, vizika b'shus harabim, where the initial hurling forth was in a public domain and the damage also in a public domain. And that would be a challenge to Rabbi Zera, because if Tzuros was a told of regel, there would be no guilt. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan says that the payment for Chatzi Nezek is without distinction of domain. So if you say it's without distinction, that would include the case of Hetizer Bishus Rabbim and Ezekiel Bishus Rabbim. You do have to pay. That is a problem for Rabbi Zera. Lo, that's not how to understand what Rabbi Yochanan was teaching. Rather, Hetizer Bishus Rabbim Vizika Bishus Hayochid. The initial hurling was in a public domain. The resultant damage, though, was in a private domain. Ah, but Veho Amris Akira Ein Kan Hanocho Yesh Kan. But did not Rabbi Zera say initially that if there's no initial Akira, uprooting, because it's in a public domain, there can't be any culpability for the damage that results, even if it happens to be in a private domain. Amarlei Hadribi, Rabbi Zera, once again, he says, well, I back out of that analysis. Iboyas Emor, another approach to Rabbi Yochanan, who said, Ein Chatzi Nezek Choluk, Ki ko'omar Rabbi Yochanan akeren. Rabbi Yochanan made his point regarding damage through keren, not damage through tsuros. Damage through keren, there we say there's no distinction between keren damage in a public domain versus keren damage in a private domain. To the exclusion of the opinion that says that keren in a public domain is exempt. There is another approach to understanding this Iboyas Emor, namely Ki Omar Rabbi Yochanan Akeren, Rabbi Yochanan's comment that Ein Chatzi Nezek Choluk Lo Lushus Hayoch Lushus Rabim, is that keren will pay half damages, whether it be in a public domain or even in a private domain, to the exclusion of Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that keren in a private domain pays full damages. Either way, Rabbi Yochanan's comment, according to this second approach, is a comment having to do with a damage of keren. When it comes to tsuros, however, Rabbi Zera's original ruling would remain intact. In other words, he's able to deflect this question raised from Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Rabbi Shaya Akilo de Rabbi Yehuda. These two great rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia and Rabbi Shaya, were seated in the kilo, the porch, the entranceway to Rabbi Yehuda's domain, Rabbi Yehuda's house. Nofak Milsabinayu, and an issue came forth between these two rabbis in their discussions. Kishkishka biznova mahu, an animal wags its tail, and does damage through its wagging tail in a public domain. What is the din? Amar le idoch, so the other one said, v'chiyoch zeno biznova v'yelef, do you expect the owner of an animal to hold its tail as it walks through a public domain? Rather, it's obvious that the owner of an animal whose tail in its wagging in a public domain does damage is exempt. What do you expect the owner to do otherwise? Well, ihachi, if that's your attitude toward animal owners, then keren nami nemo, regarding damage through goring, say the same thing. V'chiyoch zeno b'keren v'yelech, do you expect the owner to hold it by its horns to protect others from damage through his animal thusly? And yet we know that damage done by goring in a public domain carries with it guilt, even though we can't expect the owner to hold it by its horn. So the other says back, Hochi Hashta, how can you refute my ruling, my analysis, by your question regarding Karen? Karen lav urche, Karen damage is unusual. And therefore, when it does happen, the owner is chayav. It's not something that is, we'll say, is anticipated. It's not normal on the animal's part to do damage through goring. However, ha urche, this is the wagging of an animal's tail is normal, and therefore, in legal terms, it's categorized as regel, as damage through the normal walking of an animal. And the Torah says that regel is exempt in a public domain. Well, once you're describing the wagging of the tail as normal animal behavior, why is there any room for even asking the question? Now, a question was asked. The Gemara says, Kishkush Yiseira Miboyale. We're talking about a type of intense tail wagging. Yiseralin means extra. An overly rapid and intense type of wagging action on the part of the animal that resulted in damage, does that carry with it culpability or not? That essentially was the question. Boy Rav Eino. Here we have our 10th diamond. Kishkisho ba'amosa mahu. Amosa is a reference to the animal's male organ. And its male organ, its penis, was wagged. It did damage through that. What is the din? Mi amrinon midi dahave akeren. Do we say this is similar to keren? Keren lav yitzra kotokif lei. Karen, is it not an effect, an example of the animal's evil inclination, its yetzer, getting the better of it, overcoming it? Hocha nami, so to the wagging of the male organ, lo shna, is also a function of some kind of yetzer. Odilmo, Karen kavonosu lahazik. The animal doing damage through goring is a function of the animal's intent to damage. Ha ein kavonoso lahazik. When the animal's male organ is in rapid movement, it doesn't do that with the intent to impose damage, and therefore it's not like keren. Teku, this remains unresolved. Hatarnegolim mu'odim lahaloch kedarkon u'leshaber. The Mishnah goes on to say, we've included the text on the side of the Gemara so that you don't have to turn back to the Mishnah. Hoya d'liel kosher baraglov, o shohoya mahades u'meshaber es hakelim, mishalem chatzi nezek. The Mishnah went on to describe a dweel, some vessel that got entangled with the animal, with the chicken's legs, or the chicken was dancing around and it broke vessels. The Gemara text is accompanied by some markings. You can see a house shape here around Rav Huna, and a number of lines later, a second version appears on the side of the Gemara. Under in our margin, we have under the Nosei Mivne heading, the house shape appears Shnei Lishonos B'Rav Huna B'Inyan D'Lil Shenikshar L'Tarnagol. Two versions of Rav Huna regarding this vessel, this entity that got entangled or tied to the chicken's legs. The double underline that you'll see in the Gemara highlights, we'll say, stages of analysis. The Gemara, Omer Rav Huna, Lo Shanu, the Mishnah that said that there's chatzi nezek, half damage and not any more, is taught Ela Shenikshar Me'elov. The dweel, this entity, this vessel that got entangled with the chicken's legs, is it happened on its own. Avokashroi Adam Chayav. If some person came along and tied the dweel to the chicken's leg and damage resulted, then the one who tied it will pay full damages based on the nezek of bore, of creating a pit, creating a source of damage. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice we have a long question marking, this version of Rav Huna is saying that half damage will pay if the dleel, this entity, vessel, got entangled on its own. So it got entangled on its own, half damages are paid. So we ask, Nikshar me'elov man chayov, if the dleel got entangled on its own, who is going to be held responsible? Who has to pay that chatzi nezek, the half damages? E lemo bal hadleel, if you'll say the owner of that vessel. Well, heshi domi, what is the background to the owner of the dleel? E da atzne'e, if he hid it away, onesu, then the fact that it got entangled on its own is something beyond his control. Why would you hold him responsible after he is taking precautionary measures of hiding it away? Ve'ilo atzne'e, and if he left it unattended, didn't hide it away, posheahu, he acted with irresponsibility, and as such he should pay full damages. Elo Chayov Bal Tarnagol. The reference to the half damage in the case of the dweel getting entangled on its own, the half damages will be paid by the owner of the chicken. Well, if that's the case, we have questions. My Shnol Kule Nezik Delo, what's different about full damages that you say he would not have to pay? The creation of a boar is held as guilty only when a man creates the boar, not when an ox or a chicken creates the boar. So just like boar is guilt, it causes guilt only when a man creates it, not an animal. Chatzi nezek nami, regarding half damages as well. Ish bor velo shor bor. Only if a man created the source of damage, not where the animal created the source of damage. Elo masnisin be'adye aduye. The Mishnah is to be understood that the chicken hurled forth the dleel, and the dleel caused damage as a result of the chicken's hurling it forth. That is tsruros. And tsruros, which we have been dealing with is quite extensively in our last few dapim, is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that even though it's the animal that hurled forth the pebbles, or in this case hurled forth the dleel, the owner of the chicken will be chayev, and chayev to the tune of half damages, as is the case with tsruros. Now, what about Rav Huna? Rav Huna spoke about a dleel getting tied to the chicken on its own. V'chi itmar de Rav Huna, and Rav Huna's comment, be'almo itmar, was stated in general, not as a comment on the Mishnah. And thusly, we are to see things. Dleel hefker, an unowned dleel, Omar Rav Huna, Nikshar me'elov potter. If it became entangled to the chicken on its own, then there is no guilt. Rashi says Nikshar me'elov across from here, betanagol got entangled on its own to the chicken. V'niskabo adam potter deman lechayev, and a person then tripped on this dleel and hurt himself. There is exemption. Who are you going to hold guilty? Dleel leslei bailim. The dleel itself has no owner. Bala tarnagol nami. Regarding the owner of the chicken as well. Ish bar. Amar achmona velo shor bar. Only if a man creates the source of damage would there be guilt. Not where the animal caused the source of damage. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Huna makes a second comment. Koshroi adam chayav. If there was an unowned dleel that some person came along and tied to the chicken, the one who picked it up to tie to the chicken acquired it through the act of hagbo, literally picking it up, raising it, and at that moment he becomes the owner of the dleel. So, koshrei adam chayav, mishum mai chayav. What is the legal source of guilt? Rashi explains, Mishum mai chayov, deha lav bor ma'al yehu. This isn't a real standard conventional case of bor. Share lo hizik b'mokum shekoshrei sham. A bor, translated as a pit, where you dug it, the damage eventually results. And we know from the beginning of this Masichta, not to translate things, not to leave things in their simple translation. So bor represents the creation of a source of damage where the damage, where the resultant damage is at the point that you created that source of damage. That's not so over here. You tied the dleel to the chicken's foot in place A. The chicken scampered along and the damage resulted somewhere else. So it's not like bor in the conventional sense. So that's why there's room for asking this question. You tied the dleel to the chicken's foot. We say that the one who tied it is chayav, but mishumai chayav, based on what initial form of damage, which one of the avos nezikin is going to be the source of payment? Omar Rav Huna bar Manoach, Mishum boro hamizgalgel beraglei adam beraglei behema. There's a new concept. It falls under the category of bor, but through a tzad hashava. This is an analysis that we saw back on Daf Vov, that through comparing different forms of avos nezikin, we come to the conclusion that called the mobile bor also carries with it the penalty of payment. And we are not going to go over how we came to that conclusion. Suffice it to say that back on Dav Vov, the Gemara, through its analysis, comparing the different forms of Nezek, and establishing a common denominator, we conclude that the Bor HaMesgalgel, literally the rolling pit, the mobile pit, the mobile source of damage, carries with it culpability. We continue with a new Mishnah, and under our topic heading, we summarize this in one word: Shein, damage done through Shein. Shein, once again, on the literal level, has to do with teeth or eating. However, we know to expand the damage of Shein to include derivatives of damages that take place in a normal fashion, whereby the animal experiences a bodily pleasure, like one does when it eats. Shein, of course, as we've mentioned in the past, is held guilty when it is in a private domain, in the Rishus HaNizik, not in a public domain. The Mishnah. Ketzad HaShein Mu'edes. The Mishnah raises the question, how are we to understand, or how is it that an animal is held guilty for damage done through Shein? Answer, lechol esaroila, if it eats that which is fit for it. Habehema muedes lechol peres virakos. An animal is muad, is prone to eating fruits and vegetables. Ochle ksusu kelim mishalim chatzinezek. If the animal eats clothing or vessels, the payment there is half damages. That's mishune. That is unusual and falls under the realm or the category of keren, which the Torah says pays half damages. Bameh dvar mamurim. Under what circumstances do we say that shein is culpable? Birshus anizik. When it takes place in the domain of the victim. Avol birshus harabim poter. But in a public domain, there is no guilt. The pasuk says, "Ubier b'stei acher." The animal eats in someone else's field, meaning in a private domain, not in a public thoroughfare. V'im nehenes. Let's say the animal did in fact eat in the public domain. Mishalemis mashenehenes. Payment is made, but it's not full damages. It's literally payment for pleasure. That's the literal translation, but we emphasize it's not considered a full-fledged payment. How much is that? That's something will be discussed later. Ketzad mishalemes mashenenes. How are we to envision a case of payment for what it enjoyed? Ochlo mitoch harachava mishalemes mashenenes. Mitzide harachava mishalemes mashezika. If an animal ate from the middle of the Rechava, Rechava would be a public area, a square of a town. So, and someone left food there, the owner of the animal will pay the low rate of Mashenenes. If the animal ate Mitzide HaRechava, from the sides, not from the public square itself, but from a from the side, literally the side, the tzide rechava, then full damage must be paid, because tzide rechava is not categorized as rishus harabim. Mipesach hachanus mishalemes mashenenis. Mitoch hachanus mishalemes mashezika. Food was left at the entranceway to a store, not in the store proper, but in its entranceway. So the animal owner pays the lower rate of mashenenis. If the animal went into someone's store and ate there, then it will pay full damages. Tonu Rabbanan. Hashein mu'edes lechol es haroi lo. The shein form of damage is what an animal is prone to do. It's normal for it to do. It's called mu'ad for that, for eating roi lo, that which is fit for it. Ketzad. Behemo shenichnesu lechotzer anizik. An animal entered the courtyard of the victim. V'ochla oichlem ruyim la, v'shasa mashkin ruyim la, and the animal ate food that is fit for it, it drank liquids that are fit for it, that are normal for it. Mishalem nezek shalem. Full damages have to be paid. V'chein chaya shenichnasa l'chatzar nezek, v'tarfa behema, v'ochla basar, mishalem nezek shalem. Likewise, someone who owned a carnivorous, undomesticated type animal that entered a private domain and attacked and tore up the nizak's, the victim's animal, and ate it, and ate its flesh. Mishalim nezek shalim, full damages are paid. Upara shochla soirin, a cow that ate barley. Barley is donkey feed. V'chamor she'ochal karshinan, or a donkey that ate karshinan. Karshin, a type of vegetation that a cow normally eats. So you have an example of animals eating that which is, let's say, unusual for it. So the cow ate sorin, the chamor ate karshinan, the kelev shalikik is a shemen, a dog that lapped up oil, the chazir she'ochal chaticha shel basar, or a pig that ate a piece of meat, mishalmin nezek shalem. Full damages, nevertheless, are paid. The Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, v'chamor she'ochal charshinan, shein ma'achol par, v'chein chazir v'kelev, likewise with regard to the pig and the dog that we described, v'afagav de'enan regilin b'kach, even though these are not their normal source of nutrition, since it's normal for these animals to eat these things when they're hungry, ruyin lohen karinan bay. That's enough to categorize it as ro'i lohen. And we said at the beginning of the source that when an animal eats that which is was ro'i for it, that is fit for it, full damage is paid. I'm sure everyone intuitively will contrast an animal eating these foodstuffs that are not its normal feed versus an animal eating clothing, for example. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa, Hashta de Amris, now that we've established, now that you've said, any foodstuff that is not that animal's normal food, but it ate it through extenuating circumstances, as we said, under circumstances of the animal being famished, that is called shmei achila, means it's called normal eating, and we say regarding that, Shmei Achila, Rashi says, V'afilu shelo ayedei adchak, it's going to be considered normal eating on the part of the animal, even if it eats those things under circumstances that were not extenuating. Once we've established that, Hai shumra di ochal tamri, v'chamra di ochal binisa, mishalim, nezek shalim. A shumra, often translated as a cat, that ate dates. It's not normal for a cat to eat dates. A cat will eat dates when it's under extenuating circumstances. A chamor, a donkey that eats fish. Also, it's unusual, but as we said before, it's not like animals eating vessels or clothing. The animal eating vessels or clothing is unexpected even under extenuating circumstances. If an animal does that, it's doing so because it has damage intentions. And hence the contrast by way of payment when it comes to eating foodstuffs, even if it's not its normal foodstuff, full payment will be made. If the animal is eating something that's not a foodstuff, then it's keren and half payment is made. We have a volcano shape.
on the side of the Gemara, in our margin under the Mivneh, we introduce this volcano or trapezoid. Shnei Maisim Shel Heres Kli Ayadei Behemo B'Shas Achila. Two incidents featuring the destruction of a vessel on the part of an animal while the animal is eating some foodstuff. The Gemara. Hahu Chamro Diochal Nama Upalse Lasala. There was a chamor, a donkey, that ate bread out of a basket, and while it was eating the bread, it was also chewing on the basket. Chayve Rabbi Yehuda l'shalem. Rabbi Yehuda imposed payment, nezek sholem anahamo, v'asala chatzi nezek. Full damages paid for the consumption of the bread, and half damages for the ruination of the basket. The Gemara asks Vamai, why is this his payment scale? Since it's normal for the chamor, for the donkey, to eat bread, it's normal for it to chew on the basket as well. As part of its attempt to get to the bread, it chews on the basket. All that is considered within the realm of normal animal behavior. And therefore, why only half damages? The Gemara answers, the ochal v'hoder polis. The case involved the animal first eating the loaves of bread and then chewing on the basket. Question, upas urchehu, is bread normal for a donkey to eat? V'raminu, och lapas ubosu v'tavshil mishalim chatzi nezek, my lav b'vehema. You have a Tanaic source that says it ate bread, meat, some cooked food. Half payment is made. Is this not, in fact, the description of a domesticated animal doing damage? And the eating of the bread results in only half damage. Lo, it's not a case of a bema, but rather bechaya. It's talking about an undomesticated type animal, which does not eat bread. It's very unusual. And therefore, half damage. The Gemara asks, chaya, if this source is describing an undomesticated carnivorous type animal, basar urchehu, meat is normal for it to eat. Why then would there be only half damages? So the Gemara says, there's a couple of approaches to how to understand this source. One answer, dematfi, the meat was roasted. It's unusual for an undomesticated animal to eat roasted meat. Viboy sema betavia. Another approach is that, in fact, we're dealing with an undomesticated animal, but a herbivorous animal. For example, a tzvi, a deer. A deer does not eat meat, and it doesn't eat bread either. Hence, chatzi nezek. Viboy sema loilam bevehema ubevsura. Another approach is to go back to the first understanding that we're talking about a domesticated type animal, a behemoth. The question, why would there be, if once we ruled before that for eating bread there's full damages, why would this source say half damages for the eating of the bread? This source is not a question on what we said before, because the reason for the half damages is that the animal was sitting at their table. And that is unusual. We continue at the top of Daf Chof. Hahu Barcha. Barcha is a goat. Dechozo lifta apuma didona. The goat noticed some lifta, some vegetation. Apuma didona. At the edge, at the top, the opening of a barrel. Sorech solik, the goat jumped up upon the barrel. Ochla lifta v'tavri l'dona. It ate the lifta and broke the barrel. Chayve rova alifta v'adona nezek shalei. Rava imposed full damages for the consuming of the lefes and the breaking of the barrel. My taima. Why was full damage imposed? Kevan de urche lemecha lifta, since it's normal for the
go to eat lifta, or chinami lisruchi lemislach. It's within the realm of normal behavior of the animal to scamper up upon a barrel in order to eat the lefis. So the resultant breaking of the barrel was all within the realm of normal behavior, and that carries with it full damages. Omar Ilfa. Ilfa is a name. Behemo b'rishus harabim, an animal in a public domain. Uposhtot savora v'ochla me'al gabi chaverta. The animal stretched out its neck and ate food from the back, from upon another animal. Chayeves. There is obligation to compensate. Now we want to emphasize, you have a case of eating in a public thoroughfare. Why then should there be an obligation to compensate? So the Gemara asks, my taima, why is this the case? Answer, Gabi chaverta kechotzer hanizik domi. The back of a fellow animal is like a private domain. It's like the courtyard of the victim. So that the scenario, in effect, is an animal eating in the chotzer hanizik and not in a rishus harabim. Lemo mesayale. Can we say that the following Tanaic source supports Ilfa? Hoysa chuposim uvshelis lachorav uposhtat savora viochla mimenu chayeves. A person had a kupa. A kupa is a vessel filled with food. And it was muvshelis lachorav. It was slung over his back. An animal came along, poshtot savora, viochla mimenu. So that you have an animal coming along and eating from the kupa, from the box filled with food that was slung over its back. And another animal came and ate from it. Chayeves, so that we seem to have a Tanaic source supporting Ilfa's ruling. Food on the back of an animal, another animal coming along, stretching out its neck and eating from it, there is guilt. The Gemara says, no, this source doesn't support Ilfa, k'da'oma Rava, as Rava said elsewhere, b'kofetzes means jumping upon the back. Hochanami, so too here, in this Tanaic source, b'kofetzes, jumping. Rashi at the top line says, "B'koyfetzes shekoftza viochla al tzavora shein darka bekach." The told of the Karen, who the animal did something unusual. It jumped upon the back of the animal with the food on it and ate from the food that was essentially on the animal's neck. That behavior is unusual. That, therefore, as Rashi says, is categorized as a derivative of keren. And the term chayeves in this Tanaic source means half damage. Chayev, obligated to pay half damage, as is the case of keren. As far as Ilfa's ruling, so Ilfa's ruling stands, but it's not supported by this Tanaic source. Vehecho itmar durava. Under what circumstances did Rava say what he did? Rava explained kofetzes, but in what context did he say that? The Gemara answers, and it takes a couple lines to develop. The Gemara says, aha, the Omar Raboshaya, based on that which Raboshaya said, behemo b'rishus harabim, holcha v'ochla p'tura, an animal in a public thoroughfare, If as it's walking along, it eats food there, ptura, the owner is exempt. Omda viochla chayeves. If it stands and eats, the owner is guilty. Mai shna holcha di urchehu, omda nami urchehu. Why the distinction? What's different about walking that you say there's exemption because that's its normal behavior, and normal eating behavior in a public domain is
does not carry with it any culpability. Well, standing and eating is also within the realm of normal animal behavior. Oma Rova Bekefetzes. What Rav Hoshaya said, Om Doviach Lechayeves, it's a case where the animal didn't just stand in the public domain proper. It jumped on the back of another animal and ate from upon its back. That is kofetzes. That's jumping, and that's chayev. Boy Rebbe Zera, misgalgel mahu. Misgalgel literally means rolling something from one place to another. What is the din? Well, hechi domi, what are the circumstances? Kegon de kaimo omir birshus harabim. Correction. Kegon de kaimo omir birshus hayochid. Vekom misgalgel veosi birshus hayochid lirshus harabim. So imagine a bundle of grain in a private domain. The animal is standing in a public domain, and the animal nudges the omir, the bundle of grain, from the private domain into the public domain and eats it. My, what is the din? Do we look at the place of actual eating, and since that's in a public domain, there would be exemption? Or do we look at the origin of the food stuff, and in this case, it originated in a private domain, and as such, the owner of the animal would be chayev. The Gemara says, Toshma, so let's try to conclude, let's try to resolve this question from the following, the Toni Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya teaches the following Tanaic source. Masui miktsosai bifnim u'miktsosai bachutz. Masui is a burden, a package, a bundle. And the thinking right now is that this masui, this package, is filled with grains, filled with barley. And this masui is part inside, part outside. Ochla b'fnim chayeves, ochla b'chutz p'tura. Now, what does that mean? My love, misgalgel v'asi. It was nudging it from within to without. That's misgalgel v'asi. We look at Rashi, my love, kigon sh'ochlosoi kulo. The source is describing the animal eating the entire contents of the package. The hochi komar, and thusly it is saying, achlosoi bifnim, kegoin, shegilgulos kulo bifnim, chayemis. If the animal positioned itself inside and nudged the entire package inside into the private domain, there is guilt. Rashi goes on, Gilgalasai lechutz p'tura. If the animal stood in the public domain and nudged the entire basket, the entire package outside, there would be exemption. Well, if that's the analysis, Alma Bosra Chilas Liman, that would show us that we follow, in order to determine payment, where it is being eaten, not the origin. Lo, that's not the analysis. Ama, rather say ochla, the animal ate the food stuff, al ma shebifnim chayeves, al ma shebachutz ptura. If it ate the food that had been inside, so the animal owner is obligated for eating that which was inside. For that which was outside, remember this package was miksasa bifnim miksasa bachutz. For eating that which was outside, there is exemption. And if you follow this analysis, then you see that determination is based on where the foodstuff originally was. Iboy Asemot, another approach, is as follows. Ki koma Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya's Tanaic source was Bepsilo Daaspasto, was dealing with Psilo Daaspasto. And once again, we look at Rashi, who will show us, Rashi in his explanation will be telling us how this Reb Chiya's source doesn't resolve Rabbi Zeiro's initial question. In other words, Rabbi Chiya's Tanaic source was Psilo Daaspasto, is different than what Rabbi Zeiro was asking about. Rashi clarifies. So let's look at Rashi together. V'iboy say, Mala'oilom kibikotoni. Leave the source as it is, achlosig b'fnim chayeves, al-kulo. If the animal eats while it's positioned inside in the private domain, it's chayev for the entire masui. Achlosig b'chutz p'turo al-kulo. If the animal eats it outside, so he is exempt for the entire contents of the burden. The lo tifshoit de gilgul milsa hu. And you cannot conclude that the that gilgul, that nudging, is a factor. The fiomer b'chia b'psilo daaspasto, Rabbi Chiya's teaching was dealing with that. Masui shel shachas. It was a burden of shachas. Now, what is shachas? She'olov arukin. It is characterized by long leaves. V'roishe echod bifnim, v'roishe echod bachutz. One end of these long leaves is in the private domain, and the other end of that very long leaf is in the public domain. The cave on the high ratio kigorule ozil idoch basre, since the nature of such a plant is that when you start drawing one end, the other end naturally goes along with it. Keman de monach kula b'chaduch de domi. Because of this phenomenon, it's viewed as if it's entirely in one domain. Hilkoch azlinan boser behema. Therefore, we look at where the behema is standing. Ki komiboya lon, our initial question, though, kagon soirin, was dealing with barley grains, something like barley grains, not a long leaf plant, but small barley grains. The kule garin koi bifnimo bachutz. Any individual grain is either entirely inside or outside. V'chi ochlo hai, lo ozil hai basrei. And when you eat one, the animal eats one particular grain, the next grain doesn't follow it. E lo migalgilole, unless the animal does a nudging action. So that, as far as the, we'll say, the structure of the Gemara is concerned, when you get to this e boyas emo, the plant featured in Rabbi Chiya's source was unlike the type of food featured in Rabbi Zeiro's initial question. So that whatever we say about the psilo daaspasto doesn't shed any light on the case of a masui full of barley grains. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.